Sound On, Power On, your power electronics podcast, powered by PCIM Europe.
Hello and welcome to Sound On, Power On. I'm your host, David Hegarty, and today we are talking about one of the important enablers of the trend into electrification, as exemplified by the electrification of vehicles on road and rail, and even at sea and in the air. While the motivation to decarbonize that is driving this trend is clear, it presents new challenges for research and development. It presents new challenges for production and the end of life of these new solutions, and, as today's discussion will show, it presents new challenges for the testing that accompanies all of these stages. To explain how test equipment is changing, I'm joined by Michael Himmels, Head of Product Management at the EA Electro-Automatic Group, Europe's leading supplier of test equipment for R&D and industrial applications in electromobility, renewable energy, hydrogen production and fuel cells. Michael's wide professional experience includes responsibility as Chief Technology Officer for an entire product range of battery test systems for the automotive and battery industries, and his time as Head of R&D at EA Electro-Automatic, a position he took on in 2020. In 2023, he shifted to his current role as head of the product management team at EA. Welcome, Michael.
Hello, welcome.
EA Electro-Automatic is celebrating its 50th anniversary in 2024, which means it has a history that starts long before electric cars, trains and planes. What's the through line that gets us to the applications EA addresses today?
So what we did is, in the past, we started with power supplies, and a power supply historically was a bench power supply, and you put voltage, current there, and that's a power supply. But due to the demand of that, it more and more gets into testing systems, it got in the past a bidirectional device. So it is a power supply and the load at a time. So in a test bench, as an example for battery testing, you can just charge and discharge a cell. Doing this with a power supply is a quite easy job. But what the developers like to do is just doing also validation and qualification of such a kind of cell. So it needs to be automated. You need programming interfaces, you need high-speed control, and you need also measurement out of it. So over the time, the power supply came from a standard bench power supply to high power, from high power to bidirectional, and the bidirectional ones get more and more into a test and measurement equipment that includes the programming interfaces, the flexibility of using function generators, simulation functions, getting measurement data out of it.
And it's not just the functionality, is it? You mentioned high power, and the power levels have been increasing too.
This is a very interesting portion, because over time we saw even that it initially starts with smaller inverters, PV inverters, motor inverters and stuff like that being somewhere in the kilowatt range. So what we are facing over time now, looking into the space of being used in electrical cars, that we are easily talking about a higher kilowatt range, up to 100 kilowatts and even more. If we are looking into electrical application, that's more in the space of looking into trucks, semi-trucks, trains, or even aircrafts. We are looking into megawatt ranges, and even within the megawatt ranges, we're also facing the trends into electrolyzers and fuel cells. So today's portfolio, it initially started somewhere in the kilowatt range, and today we completely extended to at least 60 kilowatt per a single device, and we can just put them together in racks and cabinets and building systems, power systems that end up in the range of megawatts, and our today's hugest equipment is in the range of 4 megawatts.
That's at the power supply end. What sort of challenges have you been reacting to at the other end for the loads?
So our viewing angle is when we're looking into a power supply, most of the time it is a bidirectional one, taking the power in, taking the power out. And also for our customers in the fuel cell area, where usually the energy is generated, we do the exact same equipment also as a pure load. And the load, and that's for sure, in these kind of application needs to be fully regenerative. So you can't dissipate such amount of power. So it is just feed it back on a regenerative way.
You mentioned the control setup and programming interfaces. That makes these systems an integral part of testing. What sorts of information can people get out of these systems?
When we are looking into what the power supply is just doing, then we have a few test and measurement channels we can just focus on. This is simply just the voltage, the current, but we also can calculate the power out of it, the resistance out of it. And we equipped our power supplies with the industry standard high-speed field bus interfaces with a high data rate. And even our customers, they want to record up to a speed of a millisecond sample rate and get these data out to get it into their process and to get it into their data management systems to get information about their application. And for sure, if we are looking into the domain of battery classification and validation, even smaller changes on the materials need to be observed. So accuracy is crucial in that area. The load is on the same level of interest, complexity, and functionality. So if we're looking into classification of a fuel cell stack, by its definition, it's just consuming hydrogen and giving us electrical energy out as the output result. So if we want to just validate or classify a fuel cell equipment, so we have the same demand and requirements from the customer side, being fast in acquisition rate, being accurate in getting the measurement values.
How much of this is engineering driven by what's possible, and how much of it is driven by the actual needs that you see from your customers?
In the end of the day, it is driven from both sides. So there is a huge portion of that we just need to fulfill the pure spec sheet. So spec sheet means, in the end of the day, data acquisition rate, accuracy, and all these portions. But there's also another side of the coin to look into. So what is my total cost of ownership if I'm looking into an engineering company or into an engineering and production company? So looking into that, we scale our power supplies in one series from 1500 watt to 4 megawatts. And all of these equipment is just acting on the same programming interface. And independent of if it is unidirectional, bidirectional, or load, it's all the same communication interface. So in a total cost of ownership approach, if you're looking into that, and if you invest from your engineering efforts into a test system and programming a power device, you can scale this and take these efforts that are made once and scale it up from a lab equipment to a user equipment in the end of the day to the end of line testing, all with the same interfaces, always the same programming efforts. And we address even that a little further. So we have fully featured power supplies being a test equipment equipped with a front display, with touch, with the controls at the front. And even we offer a similar device in the same power range, in the same voltage range, reduced by these displays, just taking only the programming interfaces into account, a little bit more cost effective for the end of line testing.
And to go back then to the speed, the sample rates, that sort of thing, in terms of managing the risks inherent with high power devices, are you expecting the users to program for safety, or is this hardwired into the device?
So there are multiple levels of security or safety that are being needed in a test equipment. And if you don't want to stress your equipment, if you don't want to put it in an out of range condition, as fast as you can detect that, even with a faster measurement, as better it is. So this is one of the reasons why even in cell testing, it is crucial just to monitor it very precisely and with a very high speed, just to even detect, okay, now my cell, my equipment under test is fully loaded or fully discharged. This is one part of the story. Another part of the story is that we looked into what is a very typical application that our power supply used in. And we even saw that in some of the applications, there are risk of, for example, misuse. So it can even happen that someone, for whatever reason, just put this cell in reverse into a test equipment that might damage even the cell or the test equipment. And we added to our the system, we added special functionality even to detect a polarity reverse condition. We do the measurements to give even the customer the full control in any kind of condition and on any kind of critical time base. And for some of the basic safety elements, we also added that into our test equipment.
When you say you give the customer the full control, you mean they have the freedom to define the tests they want, but also to specify the level of safety they need?
Yeah, therefore we have another set of typical elements to protect. So we have just some limit settings, and the limit settings are within our power supply and load devices. So we can, for example, limit either current or voltage. If you set that to a specific limit, the internal supervising circuits that are just proven to detect this, these are even faster than a millisecond. So we can just achieve here a very high level of confidence that if you put a certain limit into our power supplies and a faulty device might exceed for short circuit reasons or for whatever, and will hit the current limit, we will turn off the output immediately.
So that protects the equipment physically. But if we take it back to the total cost of ownership, and given the current velocity of developments in electrification, do your customers need to constantly replace or upgrade equipment? What about protecting their investment?
It's always an issue to deal with it, because if you define yourself, I'm always and in every time fully backward compatible, you're limiting your innovation paths. So we support our customers, even with previous generations, on special demand, on special request, to keep their equipment up and running. So quite recently, we had this case where a production equipment came up and need to be extended from a certain power level to another power level, and they need additional another four devices. And even those devices on special request, just the customer can give us a call and we talk about, and we will check if we can just build those kind of devices. And sometimes the components are not available anymore. So we do whatever is possible, but sometimes we have to help the customer just getting from one generation to the other. The good point in this here is that even our programming interfaces, they evolve from one point to the next, and usually with a minimum set of effort you get from one generation of programming our devices to the next generation.
If I can make a jump here from the life cycle of the test development and the test equipment, there's also the life cycle of the customer's product. What role can test equipment play in the later life stages of batteries and the like?
If you're looking into how many cars out there in the world, it gets quite obvious that at some point in time we will be faced with a huge amount of batteries that has been used in cars, but they're not any more suitable to be used there because they have degraded, the reach of the car is not as wanted, and we have to distinguish what to do with it. So EA invested into that area and had a deeper and certain look into. And what we see, if you're looking onto the big pool of batteries that we will see in the near future, there are two options. First of all, is just they're good enough to give them a second life. So even a battery that is at a level of 80% of the capacity, which is not any more suitable for a car, might be very, very useful even for grid-coupled or home-based grid-coupled storage. And so the second life qualification is a very, very huge a portion of the story we are looking into. Second life qualification is, first of all, testing the cells and the packs. And that's exactly where it comes into the game with the test equipment bidirectional, because we can charge, we can discharge, we can measure the internal resistance, we can measure the times, we can measure the capacity. So the EA equipment it's pretty well suited to do a second life qualification. That's one half of the story. The other half of the story is, if you're looking into the batteries and the battery is too bad to give that into a second life, we have to recycle them. And the battery recycling is a very good approach, because the material mix you get in a battery pack, it's very compact, it's very heavy, so you get a lot of material into a single pack. But the risk in behind, if you're just looking into recycling, it's an energy storage. So you cannot just take it and crush it, because there's a lot of energy in there. You have to be a little bit of careful. So we looked into even this portion and realized, okay, we need a kind of deep discharge in before some worker opens the pack, before someone deals with scrapping that. And even there, we just even harvest the energy that's in the pack and get it back, and having these regenerative loads, they can harvest the energy and use that locally for their equipment.
Where do you see things going from here? We've talked about the demands of the whole life cycle for e-mobility components. What's on the horizon?
I think we have a few general trends that are just on the horizon. If you're looking into the applications that needs to be electrified, then as more heavy, as bigger the equipment is, as more energy you need. So we see a certain trend into more and more power. This starts with semi-trucks, trucks, buses. There we are in a certain power level. The next level we see is everything that's around trains and aircrafts. Even we had first contacts to people talking about a fully electrification of cruise ships. Another trend is that more and more functionality is getting into the power supply, and I think that will not change in the future. I think there are in future generations of power supply equipment, we will see getting the power supply is getting more or less like a measurement instrument, into higher precision, higher dynamics, higher data rates. And what we see is that even to the entire world situation, we see that the markets are a little bit more differ, and that gigafactories are just popping up in every country and domain. And as an EA, and there's also a trend for us, we need to follow a little bit for sure the customers, and we will build up, and we are just in the process of doing so, service centers. We had those in Europe, for sure. There's our home base. We have two of those already in North America. We have a few in Asia, and we build even more.
So EA is getting ready for the next 50 years.
50 years ago, it was a company that was very, very technically driven. And we started with something. There was a need, and there was a technical possibility, and we did that. And our growth was for years and years very technically driven. I think for the future, what will change, even with further growth, we need to certainly understand more the markets and verticals, because with these huge demand in entire test equipment, the individual test equipment ends up with specifics. So if we are looking into the PV testing needs a functionality like maximum PowerPoint tracking. If the equipment needs that, we need to simulate it. So years ago, we started to simulate maximum PowerPoints. We simulate multiple maximum PowerPoints in the future, and we will see even more sophisticated testing. So for the future, looking into the future, what is in the near future, we see that we do more dedicated applications and more dedicated functionality for certain applications.
It looks like EA is well positioned to continue being a valuable partner for its customers as electrification progresses. Thank you, Michael. If you're interested in any of the topics that we've touched on in this episode, please check the links in the description where you can get more information or get in touch with Michael. For Sound On Power On and the PCIM Europe, I'm David Hegarty, and I look forward to our next episode.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Sound On Power On, powered by PCIM Europe. Do subscribe and share.